All right, Brother Trez Van O'Neill, Tacoma Church of Christ, Lakewood, Washington, bring us a message tonight. In Search of Prime Real Estate, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Brother O'Neill.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I want to just say thank you to Brother Brooks and all those that are involved in this work, Brother Flunder, Brother Stroud, Brother Wiggins, and all those that are behind the scenes doing any type of administration work for this great effort of sharing God's word. As it was said, I'm Trez Van O'Neill from the Tacoma Church of Christ, and where our mission is to reach, to teach, and to empower. We want to reach those that are lost, teach them God's word, and then empower them to go on and do the same. And our goal for this year is to put God first and watch his blessings flow. As I open up the lesson on tonight, I have a question that I want you to hold in your mind as we go through this lesson on tonight. The question is, why not now? What are we waiting for? Time is moving ahead, and we don't have the time that we used to have. We don't get to move, I know I don't, move like I used to. And tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And so as we look at this lesson on tonight, I want you to bear with me. I'm usually not as scripture heavy, but I want to make sure that we get a good understanding of the scripture on tonight. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to start us off, verses 1 through 10, and then I'll get right into the lesson for tonight. The scripture reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so being that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse number 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether good or bad." As we look at these scriptures in verse number 2, it says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Our title, as it was stated on tonight, is In Search of Prime Real Estate. In Search of Prime Real Estate. Whenever we're looking for prime real estate, I just had the opportunity of purchasing a home recently, and I was looking for a home that would meet my needs. And not to try and find something that everybody else agrees with, but something that's going to be best for me. And I came by on tonight to share with you God's word and let you know that there is a place that is the best place for each and every one of us. And the point that I'm going to touch on tonight is in search of prime real estate, the first thing we must do is we must have a desire to get there. The next thing, the next point that we have is that we must know how to get there. And as we search for prime real estate, our last point that we're going to look at is we got to work to get there. So what I'm going to do on tonight is I'm going to go through my first point, then I'm going to pivot because I have a question that I would like to answer, and then I'll pivot back into the lesson and cover the last two points on tonight. So I'm asking as we go into this lesson on tonight to make sure that you have your spiritual moving truck ready to pack. And on your spiritual moving truck, make sure that you have some love, some hope, some faith. Make sure that Jesus is there. Have some joy, some peace, a whole lot of Matthew 6:33, seeking God first, and some Philippians 4:13 as well, knowing that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. But as we look at this lesson on tonight, in verse number 1 it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," keep in mind when it talks about a tabernacle in the English Standard Version, it calls it a tent. And we know that a tent is temporary. A tent is not a place that we want to dwell long term. They don't hold up as well as a home does. And so we want to make sure that we know that these tents that we in, they will dissolve. I know for me, I don't even get up without making noises. It used to be that I only got up and made noises. Now when I sit down, I'm making noises as well. That's a sign that these bodies are giving way. They're decaying. We're all going to leave here. But it's saying here that he groaned. Paul was talking to those that were in Corinth, and if I'm going to keep this in context, Paul is talking to those that are believers. And that's who I want to talk to on tonight. I believe that there's a message for those who are not believers, but for those that are believers. As we look at this first point, that word groan in verse number 2, "For in this we groan," means to desire. He goes on to say, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Paul was groaning to be released from immortality. And I want us to know that these bodies that we're in, that they're only temporary. I know we try man's vices, and I was looking at a commercial the other day. I like to watch a lot of sports, and there's a commercial with Frank Thomas, the baseball player, and Doug Flutie, and they're trying to get you to believe that Nugenix testosterone will get you to turn back the hands of time. And then you got Jerry Rice. He's still running his routes as long as he has on his copper fit. Well, I'm here to tell you on today, as a matter of fact, I haven't seen any one of those players go back to that field yet. That's because there's something at work here that man's vices won't fix, and that is sin. And each and every one of us must deal with the sin. And all of us have it, but the only way that we're going to deal with it is we must turn to Jesus. And we must have a desire to get there. Facelifts will only last for a little while. We're still going down. And we can continue to try these man's vices to try and prolong our lives, but we're all going to leave here one day. But do we have a desire, as Paul is saying here in these first four verses, a desire to make it home? Now, as I said, I'm going to pivot. I have a question that I have, and I asked this question to my congregation recently, and to our congregation. It was, is a funeral the right time to extend the Savior's invitation? Is the funeral the right time to extend the Savior's invitation? I'm going to tie this all back into the lesson, but if you would, just turn over to Matthew chapter 8 real quick. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at verse number 21 and 22. And while you're turning over there, I would just like to say, what better time to share the Savior's invitation? What better time to share the gospel with those who are lost? Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 21 says, "And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said in verse number 22, follow me and let the dead bury their dead." This does not mean that Jesus didn't care about this disciple and him going to take care of his business with his father, but what is our priority? Our priority should be Jesus Christ and life. And Jesus was trying to get his disciple to see that life can only come through me, and this is the most important thing for you right now. And what better place than at a funeral to be able to share the gospel with those that are lost? You have a captive audience. You have those from all different walks of life, and then you have a picture of death sitting right in front of them. You see, when I'm at a funeral, I let them know that we're all going to go this way. This is a path that we all must take. But I also let them know that there is a way that we can one day get up and live forevermore. And I share the invitation with them, and I share Jesus with them. We have to stop making excuses when it comes to our salvation. Our salvation should be the most important thing to us. Anything that comes before Christ in life is a lie. As the old preacher used to say, back in the day, when I was a young man, I'm from Florida, Lakeland, Florida, 6th Street Church of Christ. Brother Maurice Davis always used to say, excuses are lies with a dress on. Let's stop dressing up our lies. And let us follow Jesus. Many times we use our family members not to follow Jesus. We use our friends. We use our jobs. We use anything we can to say that we have something more important to do than follow Jesus. There is nothing more important than following Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, as I move back to the lesson, in search of prime real estate, we got to have a desire to get there. We saw that in the first point. The second point is we got to know how to get there. Back in our lesson text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, I'm going to read 5 through 8 once again. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. To wrought us in verse number 5 means that we have been prepared, and we've been prepared in a way that we have made a change within ourselves. We made a change. We have been made new. And then it goes on in that same scripture and says, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. I want you to know that earnest of the Spirit, that is a down payment. That is a down payment on our forever home. God is so loving that he sent his son Jesus to die for each and every one of us. And then he gave us a down payment so that we can make it home to be with him. But we'll see in our last point, we still got to work to get there. But God gives us this Spirit to guide us. He gives us this Spirit to give us the knowledge that we need so that we can make it to where he and his son is. We are partakers of his divine nature. You can be a partaker of his divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We can all be partakers of the divine nature. We can be made new over in Colossians chapter 3 and 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. As we saw here, that wrought means that we are prepared in the King James Version, that it changes us. It makes us new. But then God goes ahead and he pours his Spirit into us. In verse number 6, it says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We must know how to get there. And that only comes from God's word. We must know that these bodies are temporary. Verse 7 says, we walk by faith. Do you have faith on tonight? And not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Do we know how to get there? When I purchased this home, I purchased it in an area that wasn't fully developed. So when I gave out the address to those who wanted to come and visit, when they put it into their GPS systems, it took them somewhere else. The only way that they were going to be able to get to my house is they had to call me, and I had to give them those directions, but they had to trust, being that I was the owner of the home and that I already have been there, those directions that I gave them. What I'm trying to get across to you on tonight is that Christ has already traveled this path, the path that we're trying to get to. He's given us the Spirit to guide us there, and he's trying through his word to make sure that we are right so that we can get there. But do we trust him? Do we trust the direction and the direction that he's given each and every one of us? We must trust him. We must trust his direction. We must believe in him. And for those that are not members of the body of Christ, you can know more about God as well. I'm sharing this word with you on tonight. I'll be extending the invitation in a minute, but before we get there, the last point that I wanted to touch on is the work. We must work to get there. We must work to get to our eternal home, that prime real estate. Are we all searching for that prime real estate? Verse number 9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat. Each and every one of us must appear before the judgment seat, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Won't you receive Jesus on tonight? I want you to know that judgment stirs hope. We have hope through the Spirit. We have hope of an eternal house in heaven. And we have hope that one day we will be able to be lifted up to live forevermore with Jesus Christ. But we must work to get there. There are those who think that once you are saved, that you are always saved. But that's not what the Bible tells us. We must work and continue to work to get there. The Bible tells us over in Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We must live by faith and not by sight. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've heard the word on tonight. I won't continue on tonight. I know I still have a few more minutes left, but I wanted to take some time to walk through the Savior's invitation on tonight. Romans 10:17. If you would turn your Bibles over to Romans 10:17. The Bible tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard God's word on tonight. Do you believe that that word is true? Do you know that there is a better place than the one that you're in right now? Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligence means that you have to put some effort into seeking God. That is the work that we must put in to get there. And the work doesn't stop when we become children of God. We must continue to work till our very end. But then we must repent of our sins. That means that we are going to turn from the world, and we're going to turn to God. Repentance is just making a change. We cannot accept Christ and continue to live the way we used to live. We must make a change to live for him. The lesson on tonight is very basic and very elementary, but I think that is a message that we all need to hear. We must repent of our sins. The scripture says in Luke 13:3, and I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. None of us wants to perish. Then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We cannot keep our mouths closed when it comes to Jesus Christ. We must share the gospel with others as well. We must reach out to those that are lost. We must teach them God's word, and we must empower them. But we can only do that through Jesus Christ. And then last but not least, there is the watery grave of baptism. Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, there were those who were there that asked, what shall I do? Those men asked, what shall I do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Change and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In our lesson text on tonight, in verse number 5, it says, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit. There are some that believe that you have to catch the Spirit. But the Bible said that God gives us the Spirit and we receive it at baptism. And that Spirit will continually guide us. The lesson is yours on tonight. It is my hope and prayer that this message has touched someone, has reached someone, has touched their heart. And I want us to know that there is a better place. There's a place that we all must try to get to, but we must desire to get there. God gives us everything we need to know how to get there. And then we must put in the work until the end. Won't you obey the gospel on tonight? At this time, I'm going to turn the lesson program back over to the brothers.